This is Infidel One. Offending Coyote Down. Offending Coyote Down.
Roger that.
Welcome to Trappin' Radio. We're proud, organic, free-range, wild fur farmers of North America.
Let me tell you a little story about how I was raised. Every day work, every day pray. God, family, friends, yeah, everybody sins. A winner never quits, and a quitter never wins. Help folks in need, don't fall for greed. A jealous man is weak, so think before you speak. If you love them, let them know. If you hate, let it go. Fast can be fun, but sometimes you need slow. God is all good, the devil is so real. So listen up, y'all, cause this is how I feel.
I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my check till I ain't got none. Except for the good Lord up above. I answer to no one.
Now let's cover our sponsors. They do a lot to help support Trappin' Radio. So I'm asking you guys out there and gals to help support our sponsors as they keep Trappin' Radio on the air. First sponsors, Oki Cable and Trap Supply. Jeb's the owner of this. He's out of Oklahoma. Super guy. You'll not meet anybody nicer. It's somebody you're going to want to deal with. You can reach him at oktrapsupply.com. You can give Jeb a call at 918-429-4648. Not only does he do trap supply guys, he's a fur buyer, so if you're around the Oklahoma or surrounding states, give him a call with your fur. When you need stuff, give him a call and he'll get it out to you as soon as he can. Our second sponsor is F&T Fur Harvesters Trading Post. Everything you need for trapping, hunting with hounds, and predator calling. Guys, if you're into trapping fur, hunting fur, chasing fur with dogs, you're not going to be able to think of hardly anything that you can't get from F&T. You can reach them at fntpost.com. You can also give them a call at 989-727-8727. Whatever you want, F&T's got it. Wildlife Control Supplies, proven solutions for wildlife control, delivering value, expertise, and products to the wildlife individual. If you're in the ADC business, control business, even fur trapping, you need to look at these guys' website. Top-notch company, have everything you would want, even the odd stuff that ADC guys are looking for. You can reach them at wildlifecontrolsupplies.com. You can give them a call at 877-684-7262. International number is 860-844-0101. If you're a wildlife control professional, you need to have Wildlife Control Supplies as one of your favorites on your computer or your phone, because when you come across something that you need specialized equipment, Alan will get it right out to you. Now let's go trapping.
See, I'm a flag flying, Bible toting son of a gun. Yeah, I'm hell on the heart, just a rebel on the run. Scared, don't know it, fear, don't feel it. The truth is the light, sometimes you gotta fight. Good beats bad, right beats wrong. I'm a barroom preacher and this is my song. I'm climbing for the top, representing for the country. I'm the people's champ, right out to dead camp. Shotgun toter, Republican voter. Hank Jr. supporter, let's protect our border. To hell with anyone who don't believe in the USA. Cause this is what I say.
Welcome to Trapping Across America. This is your host, Clint Locklear, and we're going to have kind of a two-part show tonight. Something I've been thinking about for a long time. I'm going to do it towards the end of the show. It can or cannot be for trapping, and I think you'll get the gist when I get into it. But this is something that I'm asking you as the listeners, that if this is something that you think you would want to be part of, you're going to have to let me know and give me some feedback, because I do not and will not go through all this for for basically nothing where I can't even justify minimum wage for myself to do that. So after we get through with some of the trapping questions I've got, I want to go in to this project that I'm thinking about doing. And if you're interested, keep in mind when we get to that section, my email is clint@wolfernation.com. And if it's something you're seriously interested in, that you would let me know. But more than that, I would need to know what you would want in it. So I'm asking for your help to, one, judge and see if it's something that is wanted or needed from you, the listeners of Trapping Radio, and two, what would you want to do in it? Then I could make a more educated guess whether I want to pull the trigger in this or not. So we're going to get into the trapping. We got back from the Nationals, guys. I had a great time up there. It was, the weather was actually, for me, it was nice. You know, there was a couple of warm days there, but for me, it was for nice. From guys that lived up north, looked like they were melting ice cubes half the time. But, you know, when you leave 98 degrees and you get into 84 degrees with a lot lower humidity, 84 doesn't seem that bad. And, you know, the building that the NTA had a set up in, I mean, it was air conditioned. It was nice. It was probably one of the best facilities, at least the building I was in. I don't know about the other ones, but at least the building I was in that I've ever done. And I want to give them kudos for that because it just makes it more enjoyable for the guys behind the tables and the guys in front of the tables and everything else. Now, the guys that are out in the parking lot, I mean, I'm not sure it's any different where you're at. But as far as inside vendors, I just want to give kudos to NTA for that particular thing. And, you know, we're going into September. There's going to be a lot of state shows going on. I'm going to be heading to the Southern NTA in September, and I'm going up to Kentucky in October, and I'm really looking forward to those. Always going to, you know, I've never had a Southern NTA in Tennessee, but I'd say, you know, in several years, but I'd say it's going to be really good. And then the Kentucky shows, always amazed how nice those guys are. I mean, it is really an amazing group of guys in Kentucky where they make everybody feel welcome. They have a good time. They have a great sense of humor. It's just, Kentucky is one of those that really seems like that should be a model. If someone was wanting to build and see the way that works that Kentucky does. So, and mostly just because they make everybody feel so good to be there. And I just, you know, going to be up there. I think it's October. Not sure the exact date, but you can look it up online. And then the Southern NTA, which would be Crossville, which is really cool for me, guys. Can I tell you why? This will be the first time in my life that I'm going to get to go to a bigger convention and sleep in my own bed. So it's still going to be 40 minutes away. Don't care. I'm going to so enjoy being able to come home and be in my own bed. Never got to do that. And, you know, besides the expense part of not having to buy a motel for once, it's just going to be really cool. And plus, if I forget something, it's not like I got to drive 900 miles to go get it. So I'm really looking forward to the Southern NTA for that aspect, plus just to meet a lot of you that I haven't met. And if you're coming to the shows, guys, stop by the booth. Let me know that you're a Trapping Radio listener. And, you know, whether you've left comments or emailed or whatever before, I'd just like to meet who that I'm talking to on a weekly basis here. So that'd mean a lot to me to be able to meet you and stuff like that. And, you know, one thing about Trapping Radio, guys, if there's subjects that you want me to talk about, if I know the subject, and I don't want to start BSing a bunch of stuff just to fill in space, but if there's stuff that you have questions on, email me those at clint@wolfernation.com. Put Trapping Radio topic for, say, up at the, you know, in the, I don't know what you call that thing. I guess the introduction to what the email is, you know, with our subject line. I think that's what they call it, subject line. Trapping Radio topic. And give me what it is that you're wanting to know. Be very specific in there instead of just a general, how do I catch coyotes? if you're having issues on very specific things, and I have a response that I think is logical and intelligible and not just made up to fill it, I'll let you know. And then if I'm going to do it, then I can, what I'll probably do is just save that email. And then when I do the subjects, kind of like what I'm going to do today, I can send those out to you, just let you know, hey, you're going to, you know, your question's going to be on Trapping Radio this week. So if you've got questions, and I know there's going to be specific ones that are completely off the wall that I may not think about. And keep in mind, if you're just getting into trapping or you've been trapping for a while and it's just something maybe you think needs to be discussed, or it's a topic that's just not talked about very much, or it's an under thought about part of trapping that's important and why, just, you know, don't write me a book, guys. I mean, I'm with the amount of emails, I'm like 2 weeks behind right now on emails as it is. But if you have a particular question, write it down. Do it in a topic thing. You know, like one of the ones I'm going to talk about, the guy put in here, how far does the trap go back and lure or gland lure for bobcats? So that's something I can go with pretty quick. So if you have those particular questions, Clint@wolfernation.com, and if I can, I'll answer them. And I'll let you know when they're going to be on, so you'll definitely get an answer. And if you send me emails, like some of these emails today, guys, the best way that I figured out how to do this logistically is if it's more of an open-ended question, you may not get a response for a couple weeks. But what I'm doing is I'll be sending an email and go, look, I answered your question on trappingradio2.com. It'll be on this weekend. Because for some of these questions, for me to actually feel like I'm doing a decent job, I'd have to spend 30 or 40 minutes on each one. Now, which may not sound bad to somebody, times that times 20 or 30. Well, that's a full-time hourly job just answering emails, and I can't and I won't do that. And I know there's emails that gets dropped sometimes. I mean to get back to them. It's not because I don't think your question's important. It's just a time issue. So keep that in mind when you're sending these things. Be very specific. Now, here's a question. This gentleman is from Iowa, and it says, I'm located in Iowa and new to trapping bobcats. We just got a population large enough to start trapping. I'm curious if you could give me a few pointers in trapping them. Things like trap distance from dirt hole set, gland versus food-based lures, etc. Appreciate your time and your help. And Brian, I'm not going to say your last name because you may not have known I was going to do this. But Brian in Iowa, and I bet there's more than one Brian in Iowa that traps. If you're just getting started in bobcat trapping in Iowa, I'm going to give you a little history of my trapping in Iowa with bobcats. I went out there, I don't know, this had to have been 12, 13, maybe 15 years ago. Time just seems to keep flying on by. And I was running a tremendous amount at the time of 280s, which were legal, and they're not legal now. So, you know, if you're listening to this in another state, you may not be able to use them at all. In Tennessee, take what I'm getting ready to say with caution, because we can't use body grip traps on the ground, but we can snare. So, you know, and actually what I'm going to be talking about at the first, guys, you can do with a blind set. Absolutely, hands down, no question, just as effective, probably more effective with a blind set. But when I was in Iowa, I was running tremendous road lines. For one, I didn't know the area. I was looking on a map. I was trying to find the most logical ways to hit the most amount of creeks and places that look like the raccoons. Now I was trapping raccoons would flow through an area by looking at maps and road systems and stuff like that. So I was running, you know, I'd start about 4:30 in the morning, get up at 3:30, and I'd run almost completely till dark, then I would skin. So I was running a tremendous amount of traps, and 99% of what I was setting were trails. And, you know, in Iowa, you've got big fields, They're basically deserts. That's the way you need to look at them in the wintertime. They're deserts. If it's a 1,000-acre field in a tree strip on one side, you don't have 1,000 acres to trap. You've got about 30 feet times as long as that field is, because that's where all the animals are going to be. They're not going to be out in that field. There's nothing out there. I mean, because they're all corn or soybeans. So when they cut them down, there's nothing out there. There's no cover for the mice once the stuff, the chase, and you know, a lot of people out there are still plowing in after they get the corn out and stuff like that. And once they do that, I mean, it's to a trapper, it's wasteland. So what I was doing is I'm cruising down through there, and I would see these big open fields, and I would look for structure on the edges of them. And a lot of the really big farms today have taken that out, which is not good for trappers. But you know, if you in your mind's eye, you're going by a pit cornfield, and it's just dirt and stubble out there, and then you'll come to where there is a draw or a creek or a river or another farm or something like that, and you'll have these tree rows. And the tree rows will have some underbrush and stuff there. Well, all the mice that used to be in that cornfield end up over in those tree rows because that's the only place they've got cover, which means that's where the predators go. And it was a travel way for the raccoons, but because now there's prey species, it's going to be stacked up in these long, narrow sections of trees and brush between these great big cornfields. There's trails that are either on the outside of those on each side or one side, or it's in the dead middle of it or somewhere in between. But most of the time, you're going to see a game trail that's going to be going up through there, which is how a lot of raccoon trappers that are dry land setters in Iowa, that's what they target. The more of those you can get to in the day, the higher your catch is going to be. Now, and I'm saying all that to say this, I think I caught in a 10-day period, if I remember right, it was 6 bobcats. And it broke my heart because I had to put them in a freezer, and then Red was calling game warden to come pick them up. So I didn't get to keep any of the cats. But I was catching cats. And I was using those 280s, and a 220 would work. And in a state like Iowa where you can use a 220, I would highly recommend going to Expand-A-Pan. I'm hoping that I'm not screwing this up. I think it's expandapan.com, but just look up Expand-A-Pan online. And Chip has designed treadles for 220, which takes when we're talking about bobcats now, which also work for coon. But he's got a treadle system that's made out of metal. It's very durable and it's very functional. That you can actually do the type sets he's doing with the boxes for bobcats, and you'll be amazed at how many you can catch doing that, which is legal in Iowa to do. It's illegal in Tennessee and a lot of the southern states and different things. I wouldn't try to get a bobcat down to a 160, but I will say this. I've talked to several guys in Canada that 160 is their trap choice for a baited cubby in the wintertime. Now keep in mind, those cats are hungry. It's not like a lower 48 cat most of the time. I mean, you get out in the middle of Wyoming and Montana and South Dakota and North Dakota and places like that where it's pretty barren anyway. Then you throw a great big heavy snow, you know, drifting snow type winter. You're going to have hungry animals that react different than they will early season when most people trap. But these guys are catching lynx, and a lot of lynx, in 160s in brush pile type things with a cubby, and they're setting the trap on the ground. Now when I was running the 280s for the raccoons, I'm running 3 or 4 inches up. They were 280s, so a little bit bigger than a 220. I caught that many bobcats completely by accident. So if I was in Iowa, and I don't know I'm assuming, since you're saying you just got a big enough population to start trapping, they probably have limits on the cats. And if you're gonna be raccoon trapping anyway, I would just really set those trails up with the 220s or better yet snares. You have a little bit bigger cat in Iowa than we do in Tennessee. I'd be running every bit of a probably 8.5 to 9 inch loop and have it 9 inches off the ground and completely block it up where there's no way a cat can go around it, over it, or under it. So think about if you just were to string, I wouldn't recommend them getting to do because you can get in trouble with dogs pretty quick. But imagine a bobcat snare if you were to put like weed cloth or snowdrift cloth or something completely across the trail and cut an 8.5 to 9 inch hole in it. That's the way you want your brush to look on a bobcat snare. So with the body grabs and the snare, if you set a bunch of those up, dude, you're gonna catch your cats. Hands down, no question if you've got cats in the area. Snares will outperform body grips, no doubt. If you get into doing blind sets where you're not using lure, and I'm saying this is a lure maker, and you're not using bait, and I'm saying this is a bait maker, but I am saying this is a trapper. If you get good at putting in double trapped or two sets in a trail where they're really close to each other, blind sets, then that even gets you a higher percentage on your catch when it comes to your bobcats. But the caveat of that is you can go in with different snare systems, with snare supports or kill poles or something like that, and you can put in 100 snares to busting your butt to putting in 25 really good blind sets. So even though the blind sets may be better percentage wise with a foothold trap, you'll catch more with the snares because you can just cover more ground, because a bobcat's not going to just run up and down a trail like you do in your driveway going to and from work every day. So keep that in mind. But that's what I do if I was in Iowa. Now I'm going to get to your question. Brian, where you put your trap from a dirt hole for a bobcat, I'm going to tell you something that seems really radical to a lot of guys, and I've caught more than a few bobcats. And over the years, this is where my trap placement has become. Now, you can go on my YouTube channel and go back through there, and you can see me giving demos of this at trapping conventions and different things like that, or out in the field, and I'm showing the sets and things. My trap placement on a cat in my system, like in Cat Collector DVD, is 18 to 20 inches back. I don't want it any closer than 18 inches. Because you have a lot of cats that'll come up to a dirt hole and they won't get as close as trappers think they will, and they'll just look things over and leave. And that distance, the reason I do the 18 inch, because being a information geek the way that I am on some things, is first couple of years in Texas and I'm getting all these misses on cats, I started writing down and actually measuring how far back a lot of the cat traps were stopping. And the average number was 18. So when I put my trap back 18 to 20 inches, I don't have to rely on that bobcat to go up and put his nose in the hole. And if he does go up and put his nose in the hole, I've got 4 feet in and 4 feet out, which means I've got 8 chances. And if you just have your trap up close to the hole, that means you get 1 chance. And I'd rather have 8 chances over 1 any day of the week. And it really puts things in a different perspective if you start looking at your trap in that way. So my answer to that question is 18 to 20 inches. Now, if you've never seen how I set bobcats, they're very heavily blocked. He's got a 7 to 7.5 inch chute to get to the dirt hole. He can't get there anywhere else, and the trap is out towards the front of that. So when he commits to the chute or stops at the front of the chute, he's standing on that trap. Instead of me making the chute and hoping he goes all the way in there. And if you're ever around snow and you're around bobcats or you're around sand like in Texas or even mud, start paying attention to that. You'll see cat tracks, a lot of them will stop about 18, 16 inches away from that hole, and they'll just sit there and look things over. Unless they're super, super hungry, which is, for most of us anyway, is not gonna happen. Even in the Northeast, until you get up in Maine or maybe Vermont or something like that, those cats are not hungry. They have no trouble feeding themselves whatsoever. So keep that in mind. Now, gland lure versus food lure. because a cat, unless you're in, like, you know, an area that's got a severe winter, and I mean severe, I don't just mean like Pennsylvania winter or, you know, the Virginia winter or Illinois winter. I'm talking bad winter. Like, you got months and months and months, it's bouncing around zero to below freezing, you got high snow, you got high winds, it really sucks a lot of energy out of an animal. That's what I'm talking about, bad winter. Probably like what the UP is up in Michigan. Those animals, because of the environment that they're in, they have to use so much energy to get food. Food now changes. So in that area, a food-based lure would definitely be an advantage, or a bait. I think you'd be better with a bait than you would be a lure in that thing. And it could be a natural bait. It could be, you know, the back leg of a beaver. It could be the head of a deer from a processing plant, the skull with meat still on there. It could be all kind of things. It could be ran over house cats. It could be muskrat carcasses. It could be basically whatever you have. Now, food-based lure may be just fine, but most bobcat lures are not food-based to the point that people think of it in terms of coyotes, because the good bobcat lures that really get results don't rely on food most of the time. They use different oils and musk and glands and stuff like that, and it's more of a curiosity type thing with bobcats than it is just trying to get them eat. Like, I've got two house cats. I put out the cat food, they run over and get that. Now, you could train a bobcat to do that, but he's not going to do that on his own, especially not a wild one. So I don't think I'd rely on the food. Something like Cat Collector or Cat Fancy, something like that. My go-to, hands down, is Cat Collector. It's more of a curiosity. There is some glands in there, but it's not a gland lure by any stretch of the imagination. But it's more where he's just intrigued and trying to figure out the puzzle that's in front of him, and that works really good on bobcats. Now, glands. You can use gland lure, like booty call. I recommend fresh, because the rule I have for bobcat trapping, I want a really good lure, like Cat Collector, and I want the body odor of a cat. Now, there's many ways to get the body odor of a cat. It could be really fresh droppings. It can be good bobcat urine where it smells like a cat. And, you know, if you've ever been around a cat, you can kind of guess what that is. Or it could be a fresh gland lure where it smells like the butthole out of a cat. Not a butthole that's been rotting down and adding stuff to and different things. Those are good lures, but they're not really gland lures. Not in the same sense that I'm referring to. The body odor of a cat is what you're going for. So urine, a good fresh gland lure. If really fresh droppings work good if you can find them. You know, it's kind of hard to collect them because they're not fresh that much anymore. You can put them up there next to your hole with your trap 18 inches back and put some urine on there, but you want it to be where it smells like a cat. Now, in a cage, you could put carpet in the back and let the cats pee on it and just move it around. And if you really wanted to be cheap about it, you could put cats, if you're using cages, you could put cats in the back, a bobcat once you catch him, and then put some of the, cut most of that out, put some new carpet in there, and let the cat give you the urine odor that you can take to other sets. And that's not going to be the most glamorous thing to be cutting up bobcat soaked carpet, but it is very effective, and you're not going to get anything that's probably better than that coming out of a bottle, but it is kind of aggravating to deal with. And you got to start with the bobcat to begin with in a cage trap. So that's what I would do. And being in Iowa, you've got some laws that I haven't checked on in a long time because I haven't been there in a long time, but it used to be, if you're going to use a body grip or a snare, I think a foothold, you had to be like 300 feet or 300 yards from a house.
you couldn't set it within where the animal could get within so many feet of a fence. Some type of law like that. I don't remember exactly how it was wording. But at the time, anyway, it gave me an advantage because I was just playing with the dog proofs when they first really hit the market of a good one, that I could set the thing, you know, 2 inches in front of the fence, where most guys were just using the body grips, you know, they couldn't do that. But with a cage, you could really be rocking and rolling. And, you know, a good high cage, you can see one in Trapper's Post that I basically designed, even though the ad doesn't say so. And it's, 9, 10 inches wide. It's about 18 inches high and 34 inches long. Don't know if I'd want to be setting that on roads, but what cages will do for you in Iowa that gets you away from a lot of the competition that you do have in Iowa is you can set them right in town. And there's bobcats that if you've got a creek that's going right down through the middle of town, the bobcat's not going to veer around the town. He just slinks down through the town. And it'll give you an opportunity where a lot of guys using regular footholds may bypass. Or it may give you a way to short the competition in Iowa by going to a landowner, even if it's just a homeowner, and going, look, I'd like to catch some raccoons, maybe a bobcat if I get lucky, and I'm just going to use a cage trap. And that way you can get off of the road if it's convenient for you to get to, where you're not tearing stuff up when it gets muddy, but you can catch that animal before the road trappers have a chance to get it. So, you know, you gotta have some strategy in what you're doing, at least in my opinion. But that's what I would do on the trap, distance from the hole and gland lure and base lure. So we'll go to the next question. And this is, I met you at the 2015 NTA. This is from Scott in Hamburg, New York. At Sharon's Lake House Bed and Breakfast. I wanted to know if you'll be at the New York Convention in Frankfurt, New York, Labor Day weekend. I won't be there, guys, just because of the mileage for me to go back and forth to New York. It's like 4,000 round trip twice. So if I'm going to drop 4,000 miles basically in a month, guys, I'm going to salmon fishing in Alaska, not to a trapping convention. So I won't be there this weekend, but I will be there next weekend. And he wants to pre-order or prepay for the freeze-proof DIRF system, enough for at least 60 gallons of dirt. Let me know and I will call and order. I'm not going to do pre-orders, Scott, because it gets confusing on my end. And as far as the packaging and getting it ready for market, that's what I'm doing right now. And I believe Jeff Dunlap is going to be there. And if we both get them lined up at the same time, because we both worked on this project together, we're going to have the same product. Absolutely same product. It'll be a different name because we're trying to keep it where we don't have to have one product between the two of us, because there again, that gets confusing. And simplicity is always better. But if Jeff's there, he may have some, or you can order it online when we both get it up. So, but you know, don't send me money on pre-order of stuff or anything like that. I've done that before on DVDs, and it is a nightmare on my end to try to keep up with. It wouldn't be bad if it's just two or three, but you get 60 or 80 out there, it's just a headache. So I'm not going to be doing that. And if you don't know what he's talking about, it's a product I'm probably going to be calling mine the Iron Curtain. And you spray it on the dirt. It's like wax dirt, but there's no wax, none of the issues with the wax. You don't have it absorbing odor and stuff like that. You can do it when you're out of state. You can do it before season. You don't have to have heat. You're not bringing out tarps to the front yard, different things like that. You take really dry dirt, spray it down, let it dry again, go out and use it, and it's like wax dirt. So that's kind of what the product is he's talking about, in case you didn't know. Okay, next question. Now, this is an interesting one. Now, this is one of those, it's pretty hard to do, but there's a couple of, and I've already emailed her back and explained a lot more than what I've done with you. And says, I'm not even going to say her name because she's not a trapper. I'm not even going to say her area except this is in California. Game warden put out a bobcat trap that has an attached separate cage to put in a dead live chicken for meat for attracting a bobcat. Next to my goose pen, the bobcat has taken out 30 of my adult geese and gooselings this year so far. My 5-foot fence has T-post. She's going to try to put some orange snow fence up just to kind of scare the bobcat away. No climb panels. Does not deter the bobcat. All my dogs have since died since I've been alone. The one geese she has killed, the bobcat. The one goose killed the bobcat and grabbed it, and we put it in a cage as a dead goose in the back for 11 days now, which is going to be rotten. And the trapper said I would have to find a live chicken to replace it, as a bobcat won't go after fresh meat. I cannot find a live chicken to buy, so can I buy some fresh beef at the butcher shop to use as bait? Please let me know if I can do this for the cat. I also have cat and raccoon problems. I have no problem shooting them once caught, but I cannot use other traps given local dogs and my domestic cats. I have a deprivation permit from a bobcat, and the coyote have also taken out some of my geese and two of my cats. The coyote and bobcat came both day and night. Any help, I'd appreciate it. Now, we had a show a couple weeks ago when I talked about this, and I'm still getting 6 to 8 a week from homesteaders that are having problems, and they get online and they get all this garbage information from people that have all these whiz bang ideas on how they can keep the predators out without having to ever really trap or kill an animal. And there's a few things here that I want to talk about. The reason I wrote this, because with my chickens and my geese and my ducks, I take it pretty serious if something happens to one of them. I see them every day and things like that. So it's really emotional. Her being in California and having a game warden trapper, he may be a trapper or not, I don't know. He could have read something on Google and decided he'd go catch it, don't know. Keeping a dead goose in California this time of year for 11 days, that ain't gonna catch a bobcat. But some things to keep in mind about this if you're gonna be doing ADC work around homesteaders. You've gotta think about the life cycle of a bobcat, the time of year that it is. Probably has a female cat, a female bobcat that's got small bobcats. They're not babies by this time, but she's probably getting extra meat, easy meat for them from the homestead like that. So being a female and not being a male is two different things when you're going to trap them, especially in a localized area where they live. A male, for the most part, has a huge range. It doesn't see the same thing, probably, but once every 3 or 4 days or a week. So it's not seeing the same things and then get habituated to things. Now, a female bobcat is a very different story. They're a lot more cautious than a tom, because they're just like a mom. I mean, they are. They've got responsibilities to a point, even though they're a wild animal, and they know that. And when a female bobcat, even in the dead of winter, with no young ones around at all, if she comes across a cage and after a couple of days of going by, it does not catch her attention enough to work it or get into it, and you don't do anything with that cage, guys, you are wasting your time. That female will never go in that bobcat cage. But it's an easy fix, and it's not a very, very hard fix. And the same thing goes with your footholds, too. Same principle here, guys. You got to understand that. A female that lives there that has seen your game a couple of times and she's telling you that you don't have it right or it's not interesting enough for her, you're going to have to change what you're doing. And that can be as simple as moving it 6 feet away. It can be as simple as leaving it in place and changing the flag in front or the flag inside, or taking the flag out and putting a different type of toy or different feathers or the what you have over it covering it up. It can be anything. What your job as a trapper, once you think that a female has just dissed you on what you're doing, is you got to give her something different to look at. Now, you can change it up in place, or it could be moving it down the trail, because anything you do in her territory that she knows very intimately, she's going to pay attention to. And it may take a couple of different things to get her to go in that cage. You know, it could be a wind thing at night. It could be she's just not interested in what you're doing. There's no telling. I mean, animals are individuals. But what I told her is you need to move the cage around till she catches the cat. After 2 or 3 days, you don't have any action. You know a female's there. Move the cage around. Now, using butcher scraps on a bobcat in California, as gentle as the weather is a waste of time. And basically what I told her is I like having a feather that's in the back of the trap that's just on a light string that can move around. And you take a big wad of grass and you wad it up and you put some feathers or cotton in there, depending on your laws. And you make like a volleyball size ball out of this grass and feathers or cotton. And it looks to a cat just like it would if you were to come across a rabbit's nest in the wild. That's what they look like. So a bobcat kind of can visually see what that is. And you use a good lure, like Cat Collector, and the body odor of a cat, whether it be urine, gland, or droppings, or something like that. But a lot of times with cats, especially a female, you're going to have to work at it. If she's coming in and out every day or every other day, you've got to change what you're doing. And basically, it took a long time for me to explain this to her, but I see it a lot with guys that are setting bobcat traps, footholds. You got tracks that come up to the set. Now, you're not always going to know if it's a tom or a female. I mean, I know guys want to think that they're like, you know, Daniel Boone when you're out there. You can judge if it's a small track or not. But as far as if it's truly a tom or not, unless it's just a monster track, you're kind of guessing. But if you see the same tracks come down a trail, and it makes a couple of steps towards your set and goes on down the trail, and then you see the bobcat go down the trail again, you can leave that trap there till eternity. The chance of catching that cat there is pretty much gone. Now, you can make the set look different. You can change your blocking. You can make the dirt hole seem different. You can change your bait and lure. You can add feathers, take feathers away. You can add cotton. You can add toys. You can add whatever you want, but you've got to totally change the look of that. Or you're just wasting energy checking it. Now, you may catch a coon or a coyote eventually there, or another cat. But if you're seeing that a cat's just ignoring you, then you're going to have to take action to do that. It's not like a coyote, which is a complete opposite. They'll probably see your stuff 2 or 3 nights, maybe a week, maybe a month, before they decide to go check it out. A cat's going to notice what you're doing immediately, and they're going to make that decision where it's interesting enough at that time before they go out and do that. And that's just the way cat trapping is. You know, I would like to say that every set that I put in catches every cat that comes down the trail, and that'd be an absolute lie. But if I do see tracks go by a set a couple of different days and they look about the same size, so it's probably the same, I will jerk them out. And that's part of the reason with all the bobcat trapping I've done, I like drag so much, and I like portable pockets, and I like long extension cables, because I can move really, really quick when I see that. If I had to pull out disposable stakes, as good as the Freedom Brand Wolf Fangs are, as good as that stake is, it's gonna make you hesitate to pull it or to cut it and just rebeat another one in, because it's energy. And work, according to Bastiat, if you don't know who that is, you need to look him up. Work is pain. People don't like pain. So if you're going to cause yourself pain, you're probably not going to do it. But if you have a system and you're going to be after cats a lot, have a system that you can move really, really quick. Cages move quick. Drags move quick. Portable pockets move quick. Long extension cables move quick. Because you don't have to untangle it from the same tree. Most of the time, you can just move it down 3 or 4 feet where it's just different. And that's kind of what you're looking for in that. Okay. In case you're wondering what the dead silence is, I am going to different. I thought I had all these marked. I'm looking for Inquiry Bill. Well, bummer, guys. I'm sorry to have this downtime. Just take me a second here. Well, good grief. Maybe I'll just go to the next one. Guess I'll have to. So let me try. I must have deleted that other one. So I'm going to go to this one, which is going to lead in to the last part of this show. Of what I need your help with to see if this is something that you are interested in. This is from a master sergeant in the U.S. Army, and it's classification unclassified. That's one reason I know it's really a master sergeant. Just the way that the brain works. But this is from him, and I don't think he's doing anything with it. But it's going to lead into the second part of the show, because this type of story to me, from an entrepreneur's point of view and as a trapper, if this don't get your attention, guys, you're either already got more money and you know what to do with, or you're too lazy to do anything and you just want to watch more TV. One of the two. I don't really see a whole lot of options going on in between this. And when I go to what I'm asking your help for, you'll see why. Strange, this is the email now. Strange how things happen sometimes. I listened to your podcast about dog food ideas a few months ago and really didn't give it much thought. Wasn't something I was really interested in at the point in my life. But it was an interesting concept to put back for later. Anyway, a few weeks ago, I was waiting for a meeting to start and was chatting with one of my buddies about trapping and hunting a young female captain who is notorious as a yoga doer, glutton-free, hippie-type personnel officer, I think, was sitting behind us and asked what I did with them after I caught them. Not really wanting to pick a fight with this young lady, I kind of danced around the subject. She looked at me like I was insane when I explained human dispatch and selling the fur. The meeting started and I had to go back to work. After the meeting, we were kind of standing around and talking, and this lady comes back up to me and wanted to finish the conversation. I thought, great, I'm going to have to listen to this lady tell me why I should be hugging trees and letting coyotes lick my face. Boy, I was mistaken. She asked me if I'd be willing to sell her a few beaver carcasses because she thinks she could dehydrate the meat and sell them as dog treats at the farmer's market in Little Rock. She said that gluten-free movement is everywhere, and that would be the perfect thing to start a little side business, and I was freaking floored. I'm going to repeat that last sentence one more time. She said the gluten-free movement is everywhere, and that would be a perfect thing to start a side business. I was freaking floored. I asked her if she knew who you were. She didn't. I think he's talking about me now. I told her she could have a few to get started, and if she started making money, we could work out a deal later. So now I possibly have a market for beaver carcasses, if not much more, but every little bit helps. Thought you might get a kick out of this. And then his name. Wow. A yoga lady wants to have the best thing she could for probably her dog, and she saw the opportunity in a farmer's market to start a business by teaming up with a trapper because she could dehydrate the meat and sell them as dog treats. Now that silence right there should have been taken over by your brain going, excuse me? Guys, there is more money to be made than you can make. And there's more monies, more ways to make it than most people believe that there are. Opportunity is everywhere. Absolutely everywhere. If you don't believe me, I've got a channel on YouTube that I'm just starting up. It has nothing to do with trapping. Just like I said before, my Instagram account, Clint_Locklear, has nothing to do with trapping. Now, I do have some raccoon trapping on the YouTube channel, and it's the channel is Permaculture Realist. And some baby raccoons, mama brought them in. They were going to be starting eating my chicken, so we had to get rid of the raccoons. And I explained that and put it in a way so people could understand that if you're going to have animals, you got to be responsible for their protection. So there is a little bit of trapping, but that's not the point. The point is all the different ways that you can make money. But there's a video on there that I want you to go watch. And it's something about, I don't know, it's one of me standing in front of a pear tree. I don't even know the name of it right now. But I want you to take a minute, I want you to go watch that. And in front of that, you're going to see another video, if you've got a few minutes to watch, on Olympia pear. No, not Olympia pear, Olympia fig. And you're going to go, what's this have to do with trapping? It's going to, trust me, we're getting there. I show on video, by using a little bit of forethought, that one of my pear trees is realistically going to generate me $3,000. And that's not counting the pears that me and Cindy get off of it, or what I could sell the pears for, or what I could supplement the chicken and duck feed with to save me money. Nothing like that. How that tree, a simple Bartlett pear tree, is worth $3,000 a year to an entrepreneur. And I guarantee you, with as many people listening to this show, there's people out there right now that's probably scratching their head because they've already got a Bartlett pear tree or some other form of pear tree or an apple tree that's doing good or something like that. How in the world is it worth $3,000 a year? 10 years, that tree is worth $30,000. That's one tree. I've got many trees. The reason that I can see the potential in what that tree is, and it's not a gimmick, and I mean, it's absolutely pure entrepreneur logic and economics. And I tell you what it is right then, if you go watch the video, why is that worth that tree worth to me $30,000 over the next 10 years? Easy. It's because I don't know if I got dropped on my head when I was a kid. I don't know if I really think a lot of it has to do with my mom. My stepdad was not the best guy. She had to support us most of the time, and she did all kinds of crazy stuff to make money. All kinds of crazy, embarrassing stuff to me as a kid to make money. And then I watched what she did, and I watched she actually made money, and it wasn't at a job. And she made more money than anybody else I knew of that had a job. And she did it in many different ways. All the way from dressing up like a clown and going around in the morning in the back of the car and dragging me with her and buying snow cone stuff at a, if I remember right, it was Kmart, and buying shaved ice, 3 or 4 coolers of shaved ice. And she would go around in the middle of the summer in southern Georgia and 110 degrees and sell those all day long for $1 a piece. She'd make $300 or $400 a day. And this is back in the 70s. Yeah, it'd have been back in the 70s. So today she'd be making probably about $1,000 a day. I watched her do that. I watched her have police chase her off because she didn't have a permit. She didn't care. She went to the next block. So I'm sure that had a lot to do with the reason that I think the way that I do. Then, just to give you a little bit of background here, we had a school. I was going to a private school that she was teaching art and stuff like that in before she could even do art. But somehow she talked them into that. And they had one of those little drives, you know, those things that every kid's got three or four times a year that drives parents crazy and neighbors crazy, where they're selling something that nobody really wants at an outrageous price and everybody's making money really but the school, and the kid's definitely not making money. Well, we had one of those, and it was on tulips. You know, the little tulips and bulbs you put out in your yard. And whatever the little award was, I wanted to get, so I really went hard at it, and I won it. I don't remember what it is, but I remember I won whatever it was. There's probably like a $5 gift or something. And I spent, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours a day for a couple of weeks hustling. And I sold thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of bulbs, and I think this was the fourth or fifth grade. And I got my $5 little trinket, and I'm thinking about all that time and all that money that I took in that I didn't get to keep, not even a penny of it. Well, the next year, do you know what Clint did? Clint went to Kmart, because I don't even think Walmart was around then, and some of the dollar stores and stuff like that, and I bought bulbs in bulk. I don't know where I got the money from, but whatever money I had, I saw that if I bought those bulbs, I could do the same thing I did before and leave out the school thing. But then I could go around and sell the bulbs right then, give it to the customer, wouldn't have to go back, wouldn't have to have any time thing like that. You know, give them the big doe eyes as a kid like you do, because you kids know exactly what they're doing. And I made several thousand dollars in the fourth or fifth, I think it was the fifth grade, and I did it by myself, and I did it for a couple of years, selling bulbs to everybody within walking and bike distance of my house. Or I could go get a job with minimum wage at that time, probably at $2.25 or $3.25 an hour. It didn't take me long to figure that out. At the private school, I almost got expelled. Because being a private school, we didn't have a cafeteria. It was a local-based Christian school, Grace Baptist School in Columbus, Georgia. And they had a Coke machine. And a lot of y'all older guys are going to remember this. When Cokes went from a dollar to a quarter, people just fell out. Kind of like people fell out when gas went from $1.50 to $3.25. You know, world's coming to an end. How can anybody afford that? This, that, and the other. I'll never buy another Coke or Dr. Pepper. But you do, and you pay the higher price, even though you're bitching about it. In about a year, you forget about that it used to be a dime and a quarter is normal now. Well, this was about the time that happened, because we actually had a Coke machine that, since we didn't have a cafeteria, if we had a dime or a quarter, we could get a Coke during lunch, which was big deal. I mean, that was big mojo back then, because we didn't have Cokes at my house growing up. And then, you know, you brought your little sandwich and you brought your potato chips and your fruit, and the school had candy bars for 50 cents a piece that you could buy there. And they had a little lunch lady there that would take your money and give you a candy bar. Now, the interesting thing, I could go to the quick shop from school and buy the same candy bar for 10 cents. Well, once I saw what they were charging, I'd bring my own. I would leave in the morning, go get what I wanted, come back and save money, and I thought it was really good. Well, somewhere along the line, I'm watching all these people at lunch pay 50 cents for 10 cents candy bars. And I go, They're bringing all this money, and they're giving it over an overpriced item because at the school, it was based off scarcity. Now, this is not going on in my head at the time, but this is what it is. The school had candy bars based on scarcity. So if you wanted them, you had to pay what they had. They had you kind of by the gonads if you wanted a candy bar. So what does Clint do? Clint goes and he buys a bunch of candy bars, probably 20, whatever it was at the time, 10 cents a piece. I sold them for 30 cents. And then the next day I went and I bought that plus more candy bars. I actually had an inventory and I got away with this for about a month and a half. They weren't selling candy bars. Clint was selling candy bars. And I was making 200% profit at a private school because I was willing to walk two blocks away to the quick shop and buy them myself and bring them. Now, when the school found out about it, that's when I found out the man is not always a very nice guy. Because they wanted to expel me. They couldn't really give me a reason why. And it embarrassed my mother to death because I'm taking money away from the school. What a hogwash. So they told me I couldn't do it. So I'm like, okay. I took the money that I made from that. I went down to the quick shop and I bought little hard candies I could buy for a penny a piece, sold them for a nickel. No one else seemed to be willing to walk to the quick shop to buy candy for a penny a piece. So they paid a nickel for them, and it was like an underground candy mafia going on at this little Christian school in Georgia. But my whole life I've thought this way. And because of that, as I've got bigger and older and stronger and a vehicle to move around and stuff like that, I still see the world through these eyes. And the reason that I do is because I can see that making money is not hard, but you have to think about it in a certain way. And think about it in a certain way is what I want to help you as trappers do, if you're interested. Because if you're not interested, I don't need to waste my time, because obviously it's not as important to you to walk a block away to get your own candy for 400% less. That's kind of way I'm looking at this. I can't force anybody to do anything. I don't want to force anybody to do anything. But at the same time, I talk to people every week that are trying to start an ADC business, trying to figure out a way to make more money from their trapping. They have a lawn business. They may have all different kinds of businesses, but just because they hear me talk about business on Trapping Radio, they call me and they're asking me all these questions. And to be honest, most of the questions should be taught to kids when they're about to third grade. And I don't mean that in an ugly way. That's what I think about our school system. They don't teach anything that's practical. And throughout school, being in the middle, not being where you're a hammer that you get hit on all the time because you step up above anybody, but you don't fail either, is the way that we've been taught for decades. And I don't know if it's just that has eventually been beat into people to the point where they don't think like an entrepreneur or whatever it is, and they're struggling for money, and it tears me up because I'm like, how can you be struggling for money? I mean, there's all kind of ways to make money. And most people think of a job. So for years now, I've been getting all these questions. And it's a time issue for me, just to be honest with you. And I've had a lot of people say that I should be selling what I talk about on here a lot of times, but I really don't want to do that. But I am telling you right now that if y'all want to do this, and y'all willing to do the work to do this, and y'all willing to prove that you're willing to walk to the quick shop that's a couple blocks away, I think we ought to do this. And what I'm offering is, I don't know what it's exact price. It's probably going to be because the reason I'm going to do this, it may make you mad and it may make you upset, or whatever happens here is just going to happen here. I'm thinking about a year's course that we can do something twice a month, and it's probably going to be a couple hours to 3 hours where it's going to be very interactive, where you're asking me questions, we're going over how you see opportunity in the cottage industry. And what I mean by that is I'm not interested in trying to teach somebody how to build a Walmart. But what I am interested in is teaching someone how to build, advertise, and market where it matters. and get customers and have happy customers and understand how you actually see all the opportunities around you, and then be able to give you a, you know, a quick slap on the back of the head and say you're getting off track if you start going down little trails that don't mean anything to anybody, which is what most people do. Most people are very busy, but they're very unproductive. Busy and productive is two different things. Productive is like me and Jeff working on this thing with the dirt, and we'll make money off of this, no question whatsoever. That's being productive work. Now work, I could go dig a hole in my yard and fill it in every day and be just as busy and work myself to death, but I'm not getting anywhere. Most people are digging holes in the yard. Or they're going to somewhere that they don't like, working for people that they don't like, for wages they don't like, and for retirement that they're praying is going to be there. And it's just not a very cool way to live. It's not. So what I'm proposing is not to be a teacher, but be a coach. Well, we're going to have course material, mostly in audio, because that's the simplest way. There'll be a lot of interaction through emails, where if you want to do an ADC business, or you want to go start a business, and if you're thinking this is funny, then you're definitely, maybe this course isn't for you, but there's people out there that make $80,000 a year picking up dog crap. So don't tell me there's no way to make money. And they franchised it. So someone out there is making hundreds of thousands of dollars off other people picking up dog crap. That's an entrepreneur. More what I want to show is cottage industries, how you see the opportunity, how you react to the opportunity, and how you profit from that opportunity that's around all of us every day. It's going to be probably $299 for a year. And if you think that that's too high, then you're not ready to learn what I'm going to teach you anyway. If I did it for free, it would work me to death, and most people wouldn't care about the information because they didn't pay for it. So the course, I don't know what I'm going to call it. It'll be a passworded course that'll be very secure. So if you try to you know, give it out to your buddies, you're going to be cut off. And since you're a cheater, cheater's going to pay. And you're just going to be locked out. But it's going to be a lot of audio based. I'm going to have a lot of courses with very in-depth direction that'll get your brain thinking about a lot of different ways. It's going to be where you're asking me questions, but here's the deal, guys. If you ask me a question, it's going to be public to everybody. Now, I'm not going to have, at least starting off, I'm not going to do more than 50 people doing this because it's just impossible on the time. Maybe if I can get it on the second year, I may be able to go up to a little bit more. The thing with the beaver meat at a farmer's market. Holy cow. Yeah. I can tell you right now that I will have beaver meat for sale online that I will generate way more money than I ever will on fur off of that right there. Because the yoga lady saw the opportunity, which I hadn't even thought of that part. It's something that's storable. It's something that's easy shippable, and it's something that would be highly profitable for a trapper to do. But there's a lot of different things to do like that, but trappers don't think that way. And unfortunately, most business people don't think that way because they just think in buy and sell. They don't think in adding value to anything. So like I said, what I'm offering is to be a coach to 50 people. It's going to be $299. Is that expensive? I don't think so. If it's too expensive to you, or you think that's too expensive, then you don't quite understand how business works. Because it's like someone, if I gave you on, if you go watch that pear video and you go buy two Bartlett pear trees and you could make $6,000 a year off those two Bartlett pear trees, and you buy 10 and you can make $60,000 off 10 Bartlett pear trees, and you didn't do it, and someone was going to show you how to make $60,000 off $299, you're not ready to be in business because you don't understand the value of information yet. And if that hurts somebody's feelings, I'm sorry. And for the time and effort that I'm going to put into it, there's got to be something there for me to see. And $2.99, I have a feeling is not going to be enough. But it's more of, I want to help trappers out. And maybe if this is something that works, I can expand outside of trapping. I'm just being honest with you. Because it wouldn't have to be just trapping. Why do I think that way? Because I think like an entrepreneur. Everybody has talents. Everybody has things they're good at. Everybody has hobbies they want to make money at. Just giving you, which I will do in the course, giving you the outline of why you know who I am, which came from Old Gorman, beating around in a truck in Broadus, Montana. I drove all the way out there for $895 to ask him one question. The second time I went out there. And when he gave me the answer, that is why you know who I am. And if you're trying to get to wherever it is that you want to be in your trapping business, if you're in the supply business or you want to sell videos or you want to sell something like that, which is not the way to go, guys, and to the guys in the course, you're going to understand that. DVDs are it's a dying business. But to an entrepreneur, there's massive upside to the dying business of DVDs. And that's some of the stuff we're going to get into. And it's not just for trapping. If you know how to build knives, it's applicable. If you want to do the nursery business, which I've talked about, which is the most amazing drug money thing I've ever seen in my life, it's applicable. If you wanted to do yards, it's applicable. If you wanted to have a more standard business, it's applicable to about everything. What we're going to be going over is all the stuff that I've learned over all these years on how and what works and what doesn't work as an entrepreneur and why. Because that's the killer thing. And it's not just an outline of a course. You can go get a book. But what I'm talking about doing, if you want to start an ADC business and you're asking me questions on your website, we're going to get into that crazy in depth. There's going to be no question at all what your website should be like. And if there's another guy that's taking the course and has an ADC, he's going to get that same information too. Because this course will not be based off scarcity. It will not be based off greed. And it will not be based off of trying to hide something from the other guys that are doing it. Because it's not going to matter. There's more than enough for everybody. And so you're going to be hearing conversations and reading conversations from different entrepreneurs. And then we're going to have group thinks where there's going to be a little bit of homework on your part, where everybody talks about something. And then they're going to be able to, as a group only, discuss these business things and work them out between other people. So it's not someone sitting there by themselves trying to figure something out by themselves. A quick example. You have a business card? Take all the words off of it. What's it say? What does it show to a customer? Most people, business cards are an absolute waste of money. Most websites are a waste of money. Most people leave so much money on the table with whatever it is that they want to do that it's sickening once they see what it is. And I'm going to go into a lot of how you make money by stacking functions in a business just the way that I do, plus using the new economy in the computer to whatever your business is, that you can reach out and make a lot more income than you ever could locally. And I'm pretty excited about this, to be honest with you. It's going to be, I guarantee you, the first year is going to be a little rough, but you'll get so much information that's going to be practical and applicable to what you want to do. The $2.99 is going to seem like a joke. And part of the reason I'm doing that is that's qualifying somebody to see if they're actually interested. and if they're willing to put the time and the money in their own education. If they're not, then they're going to be wasting everybody else's time in the group, and I'm not going to put up with that. But if this is something you're interested in, and this is something you think would help you to have a coach, someone that actually is good at business, and I am good at business, that someone that is successful at business, and I'm very successful at business. I could be and make a lot more money in trapping if I wanted to. I choose not to. That's by design. But I make plenty of money. I don't have to worry about go buying this or buying that. And that's not a bragging thing, guys. That's just an entrepreneur. Money is not scarce to an entrepreneur. Money is scarce to someone with a job because there's nothing you can do to earn more of it except burn more time. And we're going to show you how to leverage that time to where it is really, really amazing of what you can do. So what I'm asking you, if you're thinking that course would be worth it to you for $299 for a year, a couple of times a month, because you're not going to be able to sit down in one evening and go through everything that we're going to be doing, because there's going to be a forum that's members only, where y'all can discuss topics and we can discuss topics, but in the detail that's not out in the open and not open to everybody else on the internet. Because they're going to be, I guarantee, a lot of more personal type stuff. And you're going to have to be, if you want to do this course and we do this course, you're going to have to be a grown-up. There's not going to be any snipping or sabotaging or stealing or anything else like that going on, or you'll be gone. This is a full grown-up course that we're going to do if we decide to do this. Now, what I'm asking you for is, if you're interested, email me at clint@wolfernation.com and say, you know, I'd rather you put it in four different categories. Even if you're not interested, I'd like to know why. But I would like to have no, yes, hell no, or hell yes. That way I can kind of judge what it is. And if you say no, you're not interested, just let me know why. If you think it's too expensive, why is it too expensive? If you don't think it would work for your business, let me know why. I'd be curious to see what that is. The other thing is, if you're in the yes or hell yes category, what do you think that you need the most help on? Is it getting customers? Is it finding new avenues to generate revenue? Is it marketing? Is it the internet? Is it storytelling so you can actually get your customers to actually pay attention to you? Is it ways that you can stand out above the crowd in your whatever it is that you're trying to do? Is it going to be for local, or is it going to be for national? I need to know exactly what it is, so when I start laying all this out, if we do this, and we'll start this probably right after the first of the year. I'm going to set a timeline on this to do this. Right after the first of the year is probably when we'd start. For 1 year, so it's January to January. So it's 12 months of having groupthink with a coach that is very... I'm not sure I would use the word gifted, but very practical in these matters. I've got a proven track record, let me say that. And I want to show you how to do what I've done, but in a somewhat semi-private area. But the reason there's not going to be any secrets within the group is because you'll be amazed what you learn and can do from different people, that even if they're trying to do the same thing. Because if there's three guys who want to have a supply business and they all get together, you'll find out there's really not competition anymore. But if you're going to be smart, you're going to have allies. And how that can save you a ton of money. So don't think of it, well, I've got this super secret special business idea. I seriously doubt it. But if you're interested in that, the group will educate by using groupthink, because if you give me an idea, I could shoot it down. But if you got 20 guys that give you reasons why, that doesn't, maybe your sales story's off, And then as it gets better, they can go, yeah, that's better. What about this? And then all of a sudden now you can really, really just drill down on what you're doing by having other people that have the same goals in mind. You'll be amazed what that does. Amazed what that does. So Clint at Wolfer Nation, let me know if you're interested or not. And if you're not, let me know why. If you are, what is it that you're looking to do, and where do you think that your needs or coaching should be placed to get to you the level that whatever it is that you're doing? Because one thing I promise you, this will not be boring. And for a year's worth of entertainment, that's not bad, I guess. But more importantly, you'll see that $299 for what we're going to be doing is dirt cheap. And I'm kind of using this, to be honest with everybody, I'm using this to see what it would take to run a course like this and then have it better. Because the first year, it's going to be a little rough. There's no way to get around it. Because I'm going to be going off of what y'all need instead of what I think you need. And if I don't know, guys, I'm going to tell you I don't know. But I bet you I can do research to find some stuff that'll definitely help you out. So I'm going to end the show with that. Clint at Wolfer Nation, if you're interested, let me know, because I'm going to have to start compiling some stuff. So when we turn that thing on, we're up and running full speed and brain smoking. So everybody have a good week this week and get ready for the season, because it'll be here before we know it. And if you're going to think like an entrepreneur, open those brains up, open your ears up, open your eyes up, because opportunity is everywhere. And I'll talk to y'all next week. This is Clint signing out.